The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, we had been talking about the idea of thinking, the importance of thinking, the importance of being perceptive and discriminating in using our minds in critical judgment. We are going to be spending some time shortly discussing creation, flood, dating methods, paleontology, all of these subjects, in order to profit from them and to comprehend what the Scripture teaches, require the use of the mind. And I thought it might be instructive for us to look at some of the biblical commandments regarding this. I am sitting here looking at a list of, I would guess 30 or 40 references where there are express commands to God's children to use their minds. I think this is an idea which probably a great many people are not aware of, and some, although they may be aware of some scattered commands in the Scripture, really are unaware of the number of times that these kinds of commands occur. If something is said once in the Scripture, then it's worth our giving attention to. And where a subject is repeated over and over and over again, then it is something certainly that we need to take heed to and make every effort to bring our actions and activities and behavior into line with. So let's look at some of these. First of all, some in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15 we read, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." Now, it might be well to observe here that the word judge is used in a variety of senses in the Old Testament. In some cases, it's used in the sense of judicial punishment. And it is quite true that you and I, as believers, have neither the ability nor the right to pass judicial sentence on another person. But the word judge is also used often in the sense of testing or trying or proving. And in this sense, we will see the commands that we are to do that. We are to arrive at reasoned conclusions about everything that we hear or see or think, contrary to the idea that believers are never to make any kind of judgment at all. I would caution folks against the notion of attempting to judge motives. Sometimes a person does something and we say, I know why he did that. Well, maybe, maybe not. There certainly is no instruction in Scripture to attempt to do that, to judge motives. But in the sense of testing or trying or proving, this word is used over and over again. So even here in the Old Testament, we have a commandment dealing with the fact, in this case, that we are to judge our neighbors. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 16, Deuteronomy 11:16, we read, "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." Now the word heart here occurs often in the Scripture, and it generally is not referring to our blood pumper. There are some exceptions to that, but often the word heart is simply dealing with the mind. If you control your thinking, you control your behavior, you don't do that with your blood pumper. You do that with your mind. And in many instances, it is possible to substitute the word mind for the word heart as it's used. This happens to be one of those. "Take heed to yourselves that your heart, your mind, be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." First, it is worth noting, on the basis of the commandment, that it is possible for even one of God's, the heart, the mind of one of God's children to be deceived. If that were not possible, then there is no reason for this commandment in Scripture. So we can be deceived. And the caution here is that we are not to be deceived. And the reason in this case is that if we are deceived, then we can turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. I am certain in my own mind that Satan delights in this kind of thing. If he can cause God's children to be deceived, then they will find themselves aiding and abetting and helping people, institutions that they really have no business in having any part of. And if Satan then can keep God's children from exercising the critical judgment which he has given each of us the ability to have in connection with the Scripture, then we can find ourselves involved in things that as God's children we ought not to have any dealings with. Take heed to yourself, that your heart, your mind, be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. In Psalm 95, verse 10, a rather interesting verse, Psalm 95, verse 10, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They do err in their mind. They are mistaken in their thinking. It is a people that do err in their heart, in their mind, and they have not known my ways. Again, an indication that if God's children are deceived, then it's possible for them to be involved in those things which are contrary to the instructions which we have in Scripture. There are a number of verses, as one might expect, in the book of Proverbs. We will look at some of these in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now the word simple here, first let me ask this. Is the condition of being simple a desirable characteristic for one of God's children? And the answer, of course, is that it is not. There is one passage in Romans that might seem to indicate the other, but the word simple really means open to all forms of evil. And as God's children, we are not to be open to all forms of evil. If God's word commands that we avoid something, forbids us from doing something, that's sufficient. We don't have to go and participate in whatever it is that has been forbidden in order to understand why. So God's children ought not to be open to certain things. They ought not to be simple-minded toward those things. Where they are discussed in Scripture and described in Scripture, then we're to stay away from those things. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, keep thy heart, keep thy mind with all diligence. In passing, note please, this is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. Keep thy mind with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now my next comment may seem to be a little peculiar to you, but it's something that's worth thinking about. In many instances, what is true about something is not as of much importance as whether a person thinks it's true or not. I can remember a number of years ago, we happened to be in Lynchburg, Virginia. I was speaking up there on the weekend, and my wife happened to have a cousin that lived in Appomattox. Now, for those of you that are familiar with that part of the country, Appomattox, my recollection, is 7 or 8 miles east of Lynchburg. So one afternoon, we decided we would go out and visit the cousin. I pulled up to a stop sign in Lynchburg, and in all sincerity, turned left, thinking I was on the way to Appomattox. It became apparent before too long that we were headed west out of Lynchburg rather than east toward Appomattox. Now, I could have persisted in that sincere choice, in which case we would have had a very long journey to get back to Lynchburg, about 24,000 miles, to go around the earth the wrong way. The simple thing was to admit that I had made a wrong turn and turn around and head back in the right direction. My sincerity did not prevent that wrong choice. And often people make sincerely wrong choices, and rather than admitting that they have done that, they persist in that sincere but wrong direction. Here, out of the heart, out of the mind, are the issues of life. So what a person thinks about the subject sometimes is of more importance than what really is true, because a person acts on the basis of what they think. Whatever the information they have, the conclusions they have in their mind about something, that's the basis on which they act. And if those conclusions are wrong, particularly in this case, if they are unbiblical, then that person is going to be thinking and acting contrary to the Scripture itself. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, we read the following. Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The latter part of that phrase, that verse, giveth thought or considers his steps. The simple man believeth every word. I grew up out west, and in a number of ways, Westerners are in fact very different from Easterners. I can remember my uncles out in West Texas. As children, we did not, were not part of the conversation of the adults usually. We would sit and listen to it, but it was rare that a child would make any contribution to it. And I can remember my uncles sitting around talking, could tell some of the most outrageous lies that a person ever heard without a single change of facial expression. As a child, if you didn't catch on to that, you would find yourself sent on some very interesting excursions occasionally, and some perception or discrimination was necessary. Whether people have that difficulty today as we did then or not, I don't know. But it did encourage particularly young people not to be naive and gullible about things. This is an unfortunate characteristic of many people. They simply do not give thought. They are not discriminating and perceptive. And simply because someone has said it, they accept it at face value and then head down a wrong road, often acting contrary to what Scripture commands. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 14, Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So you will often find this connection between knowledge and understanding and the use of the mind, and it is simply one of a number of Scripture references that have to do with that.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.